Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You out of a week, weary and heavy laden. And we ask, O Lord, that You would cause us to drink deeply of the living waters and eat richly of the green pastures of Your Word. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, if you have a Bible from the back, that's on page 1147. 1147, Isaiah chapter 55. And before we start reading why the New King James translated the first word of Isaiah 55 as ho, I don't know, it sort of sounds like Santa Claus, but it's come is better. Come with an exclamation mark is better, but we'll read it as it is in the New King James there. Isaiah 55 at verse 1, we'll read the entirety of the chapter. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who you do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we begin with a bad word. If you start twitching when I say it, or nightmares begin once again, I apologize, but I think it's needful for us. What is this horrible word? COVID. COVID. It has been 5 years since the lockdowns began. And as we look back at that time, I want us to ask ourselves, did we learn anything from those 2 years? I asked you, if you remember that, I asked you after COVID was over, and nobody responded. So, I'm going to assume that you were just too shy. But if we did learn something, what was it? What did we learn? Was it that we should listen to the medical professionals all the time? Or was it that we should listen to them none of the time? Was it that we learned we have an evil government that we must always resist? Or was it that we are always supposed to submit to the government no matter what? Was it to be an arrogant jerk? Or was it to be an arrogant, kind person? Did we learn to be Christian nationalists or pluralistic in our views of church and state? Now, I'd point out all of the extreme views there to cover the whole gamut of opinion that existed at that time and probably still exists in many ways to this day. And all of that to say that none of those things were the things that God was really teaching us or really desiring for us to learn during that time. So, if you had strong opinions on all of that, that's fine, but throw it out of your mind right now, because that's really, none of those things are really important. There was a far more important lesson God was teaching us during that time. That moment in redemptive history, in this country, in this province, in this city, was a moment in which God was calling us to repentance. To repentance for taking for granted corporate worship. We were supposed to learn in those days that we are completely dependent on the Lord for everything. And the reason that we come to church is not because of habit or because it makes us feel good about ourselves, but because we need Him. We need Him every moment of every day. We need our God to continually feed and nourish our souls with the gospel of peace and the preaching of it. We need this. Have we learned that lesson? Do we view Sunday as the best day of the week? Not because it's a day off from work, but because it's the day that we get to come here. That we get to join together with God's people in God's presence and hear Him speak to us. And we get to speak with Him in songs of praises and in prayer. Do we love to worship our God? When we hear the call to worship in our hearts, do we respond as the psalmist does in Psalm 122? I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." When we sing, do we do so with the heart of the psalmist in Psalm 9? I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And do we do so knowing where we are and what we are doing? That we are joining ourselves with the saints throughout the entire world and the saints in heaven and all of the angelic hosts and all of creation even the mountains and trees, joining in singing praises to our God? Do we come to the reading of God's Word and the preaching of it and see that this is food for our souls? Because as the gospel is preached to us, and when we hear God's Word, we see our God. When Moses was on Mount Sinai and the Lord revealed Himself to him, what did Moses see as he saw the back of God? He saw the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. That is what we, as we read, that is what we see. As we hear God's Word, we see Him as that. And we see our God with even greater clarity than Moses saw on that mountain. Because we have the mystery revealed. We have the New Testament. We know exactly how our God has saved us. All the Old Testament saints were waiting and longing to see that mystery revealed. And the Apostle Peter makes the point in 2 Peter chapter 1, that what we have in the testimony of the New Testament is greater than what he and James and John saw on the mountain of transfiguration, which was greater than what Moses saw. And as we look at Isaiah 55, we know that we need to be fed by the Lord. We need to see Him. And we know exactly how our God feeds us. We know that God's Word is powerful, and everything that the Lord speaks is truth and will come to pass. And we know that in a way that Moses never could, because as I said earlier, we have the mystery revealed in the coming, in the dying, and in the rising again of our Lord Jesus. So I ask us all again, have we learned our lesson? I know it's hard. There are some times when the pastor rolls on past the time limit. I know it's hard when we are tired, when the church gets a bit warm, when we are feeling 100%, when the children are more distracting that day than others. When we have a stressful week coming up and we're really struggling to keep our minds focused on this day instead of the days to come. I know it's hard, but I plead with you as I plead with myself. Come. Come with 3 exclamation marks. Come. We are thirsty and hungry, left to ourselves. We are spiritually destitute. Our hearts are a dry wasteland. We are empty, and all the pleasures and promises of this world are but sand being shoveled into us. Jesus bids us come. Come and receive the blessings that he has earned for us. Come and receive him. Jesus bids us to come even though we have nothing to give him. That's why those opening verses are so precious to us. Because we come beggars all, and Jesus gives us all. Have we learned our lesson? That even while the government was shoving out money, and we had no earthly needs that were not being met, it was but sand being shoveled into our stomachs. That nearness to the Lord and to be fed by him through his promised ways of working is what we really need. And this leads us to our second point. Do we actually trust our triune God? Isaiah 55 is chock full of verses that we would all do well to memorize, and many of them we probably already have. One of those is verse 11, but I'll begin reading at verse 10 for context. For as, notice the comparison here now, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This is how God promised to work among his people in the Old Testament and in the New. It was through the Word of God that God would feed his people. For in the Word of God, God is revealed, and Jesus is truly given to us in the Holy Spirit. We see a similar thing being said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, where we read, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." God has promised to work through his word and the preaching of it to save us and to feed and nourish our souls unto everlasting life. For in the word of God, we are truly given the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. So when we come to church, do we come expectant that God will keep his promise? Do we trust him to feed us? And feed us exactly what we need? Or are we like the Israelites in the wilderness, not trusting in God to provide and complaining about how he fed them? I know that we come to some passages and some of them and the sermons attached to them we like better than others. Some passages in sermons feel like mountaintops and others feel like valleys. As I've heard it said, mountaintops are for rest and correct perspective. But valleys are where the fruit is born. So do we trust our God to feed us with exactly what we need when we need it? Even when we feel like we want something else. We so often are like children that just want to scream for what? For what? Scream for ice cream, of course. Come on, you know that. Which is good in its time and place. But God is wiser than my beloved grandma who I convinced through deceit to give me ice cream for breakfast. God is wiser. He knows what we need. So do we trust Him? He promised, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Do we come to church believing that promise? Do we trust the one who spoke those words? Which then leads us to the last point. Are we coming to God's word as a critic or as an eater? Are we coming to God's word, raising ourselves up over it as judge, to determine what we really think of it? Or have we humbled ourselves under God and under His word and seek to eat the good food that He provides? John Calvin argued for weekly communion. And the reason that he did so is because, and he's absolutely right about this point, you can argue about how often, but he's absolutely right about what communion symbolizes. The Lord's Supper symbolizes what happens in the preaching of God's word. We also believe in the Lord's Supper that Jesus is spiritually present with us and is feeding us. But that feeding is not apart from the Word of God. Which is why as we eat the bread and drink the wine, we do so having heard the promises of God. But even as we hear the preaching of God's Word, Christ is spiritually present with us right now, feeding us with the precious and life-giving truths of the Gospel itself. Imagine you're at a 5-star restaurant and the chef comes out and lays before you a 5-course meal, and this world-renowned chef goes through each of the dishes and begins explaining to you all the glories of the food set before you, all the smells and how it tastes. And do you catch that texture in your mouth? And explaining to you how he's paired it perfectly with this wine and so on and so forth. That is indeed a picture of what Jesus is doing for us as we go through his word. He is sitting with us. He is in fact in us by the Holy Spirit. And he is feeding us His word, and explaining to you the beauty of what you are partaking. That is what Christ is doing for each of us as we sit under the preaching of God's word. Jesus is with us and is saying, just going through this passage in Isaiah 55 now, drink this cup of salvation. by free grace. Do you taste the bitterness of my suffering and the sweetness of your salvation? Just like when you drink wine, do you taste that as you go through the gospel and you see the bitterness of Christ's suffering on the cross, but you see the sweetness of that great exchange whereby Christ took upon Himself your sin and He laid upon us all His righteousness? Do you feel that quenching of thirst and plump fullness in your stomach like when you drink a big cup of milk? And you see how the gospel satisfies you and makes you full and whole. Do you smell that smell of freshly baked bread and eating it warm right out of the oven? The wonderful crunchy crust mixed with the light and fluffy inside, reminding us of the breaking of Christ's body for our sins and yet the kind compassion that He has for us. And this is all free. It's given to you. Christ is saying, here I am. Taste and see that I am good. Partake now, brothers and sisters, of the sure mercies of David, the everlasting covenant of grace that God has made with you. Eat that gospel good news that is, as the prophets say, sweeter than honey. That if we come to the Lord Jesus, confess our sins to Him, He will abundantly pardon. That is what He has said. That is what He has promised. This is how our Lord Jesus feeds us. Having eaten such a meal, as after having eaten one of your favorites, you know how it is after Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter feasts, you sit there with your belly bulging, and maybe as guys we make more grunts than anything else, but oh, that was good. That was delicious. That was good eating. Having tasted and seen that the Lord is good, how can we not join with the mountains, hills, and trees, dancing with joy and satisfied with God's peace? Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we pray that we would never take this time that we have together with You for granted. This is a most sacred and special time. And we pray, oh Lord, that as we come week after week, that we would always come expectant to be fed by You and trust in Your promise that You will feed us by the preaching of Your word. We ask, O Lord, that You would feed us exactly what we need in the day that we need it. May every Sabbath day You prepare us for the week ahead. And may you quickly call to our minds in that week the things that we have heard from your word. That whatever would come our way, we would remember the taste in our mouths of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And rejoice and be glad. And join with all nature in singing your praises. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.